Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely nation of the United States of America, specifically the city of Lincoln, Nebraska, where God has us for a short window of time, being about His business, doing that which He has for us to do, and spending time also in the Word and catching up with you here and there as God would give us something to say. And you know what? The Spirit of God is always speaking. He's always speaking within our hearts. And the question is, you know, are we tuned in to what it is that He's doing? And are we seeking Him? You know, Jesus, when He would speak in parables, and actually in all Jesus' public ministry, He spoke in parables, so that seeing they would not really see, and hearing they would not truly hear and understand, because most people didn't really want the truth. And so the truth was veiled from them. And the people who received the truth were those that asked and seeked and knocked. Those that knew there was something there and pursued it, and they wanted it. They really wanted the real thing. Those that really wanted the real thing that came from the hand of God, that bread of life, those were the ones that pressed in and said to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, this is a... you know, this is a hard teaching. You know, what do you mean by this? Or Jesus, can you explain this? Or can you..." And He did. He would tell them. And He would say, you know, to you guys is revealed the mystery of the kingdom. But to everybody else, it's veiled. Why? Because the other ones, they didn't have a heart for truth. They didn't want it. Most people, what they wanted? They wanted the miracles. They wanted to come see the signs and the wonders. They wanted to see the demons get cast out. They wanted to see people healed. They wanted to see all the flashy stuff. But when it came down to the actual truth, when it came down to the Word, when it came down to the light that was shining, that would expose their very hearts and souls and who they were within, and that conviction that came from being in the presence of holiness, and that came from being in the presence of the living God, when they were confronted with that, they didn't want that. They would turn away. They would walk away. They couldn't deal with that, because that's not the God that they wanted. They didn't want that Jesus. They wanted the Jesus that would heal them. They wanted so that they could then go back to their life in the world. They wanted the Jesus that would do a miracle, because they wanted to something sensational. You know, I mean, nowadays, hey, everybody's got their big screen TVs and they flip the channels. They found plenty of other things to entertain them. But, you know, at that time, people wanted that which was sensational. You know, they wanted that to see that, to be like, "Oh, wow, look at this. Oh, wow, look at that." Because people like signs and wonders. You know, so that was what they wanted. But, and a lot of them too were repressed or oppressed. They were oppressed by demonic forces that were in their lives, or they'd suffered, you know, at the hands of, you know, the medical establishment of the day that had done a lot of wrong to them. And even in the middle of that, a lot of people wanted some relief. And they were looking to Jesus for relief. But then what did they do after they got the relief? You remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? Well, where'd the 9 go? Only one came back and dropped before the feet of Jesus and said, and thanked Him and praised Him. And what did Jesus ask? He said, "Weren't all of you guys healed?" The truth is, yes, all of them were healed. And yet only one of you has come back and said, "Thank you." Only one of you have come back and appreciated what God has done for you. And you know what? A lot of people are like that. A lot of people are like that in life. A lot of people are like that when it comes to the Word. A lot of people are like that when it comes to truth. They just want God to give them a word, to give them something, so they can have a momentary symptom relief and they can get back to their life in the world. But for Jesus, what He wanted, and even what He instructed His early disciples to do, He said, the apostles, when He gave them the instructions in the end of the different Gospels, He said, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations." You know, make disciples. Make disciples. Help them to come into that place that you yourselves have come into. Following Me, trusting Me, listening to My Word, listening to My voice, knowing what it takes to be a true follower of the living God. Not somebody just hanging around for a miracle so they can get back to their life in the world. You know why? The world will kill you. If you can get momentary symptom relief, but then you go forward, the world will kill you. It will destroy you. It will use your life force. It will take everything out of you and leave you with nothing. Jesus called you into life, but it comes on His terms. And part of that life is coming into the light and allowing that word to just cut you, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. That word just to slice you at the core of who you are, and God to do surgery so that you can be free, so that you can be saved. You know, either, look, listen, the light has come. The light is coming. The light, it has come. It's here. But that light is going to continue to grow and fill the whole earth. That spiritual light of the living God, as God's kingdom comes and God's will is done, as that light grows and fills the whole earth, it is going to flood everything, and everything is going to be exposed in the light. And when it is, everything will be seen for what it is. Everything will be known for what it is. No one can get away with anything. And for all eternity, things will be exposed for what they are. Ah, speaking of which, grab your Bible. Go to Mark chapter 4. And verse 21 says, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear." And then it says, we'll keep going for a bit. "And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, for what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed onto the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Okay, so, first off, God saved you. Jesus Christ saved your life, illuminated your spirit, lit up your heart. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him, right? Right. So God drew you. God gave you a revelation of who Christ Jesus is, which is the foundation of the church of the living God. God did that in you. Now, does any man light a candle and then go hide it under a rock? Who turns on a flashlight just to cover then the face of the light so the light doesn't go anywhere? Nobody. The whole reason you light a flashlight, turn on a flashlight, or light a candle, or light a lamp, is so that it gives light, so that it shines bright in the darkness. God lit your life up so that you would shine bright in a dark world. The world works very hard, if you have been lit up by God, to keep anybody from seeing that light. Because the world does not want the light to shine in the darkness, because other people then that see the darkness, it does a few things. One, it convicts. For those that are on the side of the darkness, it convicts, because your very presence does something in their spirit to expose, to reveal. And they hate that, because they're children of the dark. They're not children of the light, they're children of the dark. And they want to remain in the darkness. So they try to destroy, to either corrupt you and bring you over to the side of the darkness, or to crush that which is in you, to keep you from being what God made you to be, to put out that light. So if they, so either they want to seduce, Or they want to compromise and bring you in or kill you and put you out. But the one thing they don't want is that light to shine. And that's the very thing that God wants to happen with you. It's for your light to shine. To shine bright. To shine strong. So that people see and realize Christ in you. The hope of glory. Because there are others that will see your light. And will hear the message. And will hear the truth. And hear the gospel that God has put in you. And they will be saved. Because of the witness. God uses men and women to speak His truth. God uses us as ambassadors in the earth to make known the mystery of the gospel. And based on that testimony and based on that revelation, also the Spirit of God works. And the Spirit of God works in their hearts. So you speak the gospel, you speak the truth, and the Spirit of God works and reveals Christ in them. And they too are lit ablaze to light, to shine. So God has lit your life up so that you would be a witness, that you would be a challenge to the sins and the devil. God has lit your life up as a remnant in the earth. Because despite all that the world tries to do, God has still maintained a people for Himself. God has still maintained those that would follow Him, even in the worst of conditions. God has always had His people. God has always had His people. And in fact, for His people to not be here would be for the destruction of the entire world. Because only while the people of God are still around is there any reason for the world to even have an existence. Because if His people aren't here, then they would end up like Sodom and Gomorrah with the removal of Lot. Look, when Lot and his wife and two daughters were taken out of that city was destroyed. Worlders that are smart understand that if the children of God are moved out of the way, that they themselves are destroyed and eliminated. A lot of the world's problems have come as a result of them attacking the children of God, attacking God's plan and purpose, attacking God's structure, messing with the genome, messing with that which was put in the earth. God put a structure. God put a way. God put something in place. God gave a natural order to things. God put instructions in His Word for how things should be done, how things should be run, how things should happen. And when mankind in a fallen nature, fallen state, have gone against the Word of God, the byproduct of that has been that they have destroyed themselves. They've destroyed themselves. When man has tried to rebel against God's structure, God's design, when man has opened up that box of problems by trying to play God and getting in the wrong place, they've destroyed themselves. They've destroyed their health. They've destroyed their environment. They've destroyed each other. Look, for example, something very, very simple. God has put a way that a family works. God has put a way that a family structure works. If you try to come into a family, you try to make a family, for example, and if the wife tries to lord over her husband, well, you're going to end up with a bunch of problems. You're going to end up with a bunch of problems. Because that is not the structure that God has put in place. God set it up. God set up His kingdom a particular way. And God set up a family a particular way. Just like in a home, the dad is the head of the home. That's how it works. And the mother is subject to the head of the home. Is she a partner in this whole thing? Yes, but also there's an authority structure that works in the house. And if the mother tries to subvert the authority structure that God has put in place, it will hurt and harm the home. Now, both of them are subject to the Word of God. And I've got to also make this clear too, is that you're still subject to the Word of God because that is the highest authority. God's Word is a higher authority in that house than any person's rational being. So what part of what you got to do as a home and as a family is the husband and the wife bow their knee before the King of Kings, who is their authority. So there's a spiritual authority above both of them. But you understand then how God's authority structure works. So God speaks, God works with the home, with the house, and then how it works with the kids. And when people come into that place where they come under the authority structure of God, that protects their life. That protects their life. And it grants them a degree of protection, because that's how God designed it. So you need that. You want that. And when people try to get outside of that, they end up destroying their life. For example, I know you guys are listening from tropical countries, you may not know this one, but a fireplace. You know, many of the colder countries in the world, people have fireplaces. Well, you know, if the fire is put in the right spot, if the fire is put in the fireplace, it gives warmth and heat to the house. But if you go try to start a fire somewhere else, you'll burn down the house. It's the same fire, but the wrong place. Certain things in the wrong place in life will destroy your life. God has given in His Word how things are supposed to work. So if you get outside of that, you hurt yourself. You get outside of that, you destroy yourself. You get outside of that, you burn yourself down and everybody else around you. So same thing like cooking. Everybody's doing that. If you cook on the stovetop, or you cook with a gas cylinder, you cook with that in the right place, under the right condition, you can feed yourself and your family. But if you try to start a fire somewhere else and you try to do the same thing in another place, you will burn down your house. You will destroy yourself. So that's what God has given us. God gave you His Word so that you would understand that this is where the fire goes and this is where the fire does not go. Do you understand? See, this is why the world gets into so much trouble. The world tries to start a fire in the living room, tries to start a fire on the balcony, tries to start a fire all over the place, saying, oh, it's my right, I can burn this and I can burn that. And they burn themselves down. In Proverbs 19, it says, a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Isn't that dumb? A man says, okay, I'm going to go start a fire somewhere else, and then I'm just going to do that, and they do it, and then their life, they burn their own life down, and they get mad at God. Why are you getting mad at God? He already gave you His Word. He already offered you life, and people reject life. They reject His Word, and then they turn around later after rejecting life and light and truth, and then they hurt themselves, and then they get mad at God because they hurt themselves. Look, there's a way that things work, but they work according to His terms. If you are not living the abundant life, then you need to go back to God and ask God, Lord, where am I missing this? What do I need to know and to understand to receive that which You intended for me? Because Jesus Christ said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God intended that you would have life. So if you don't have the abundant life, you need to ask yourself that question. Where did I miss it? Who taught me incorrectly? Who lied and deceived and got me to believe something that was not true? Who wrapped me up into a religious bondage that had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof? Where did that happen? Because you know what? A lot of people will hold on to a religious teaching and a religious tradition, and they will reject God. And then they will live outside of the abundant life for their whole lives here and think that that was the way that it was supposed to be. And it's not. You were meant to live the abundant life. God intended that you would have it. And if you don't have it, then something's wrong. And you know what? The problem's not with God. The problem is not with God. You know, the devil comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that in so many different ways. He's got an entourage of options and possibilities that he will use to try to do that in your life. And if you want the truth, if you want freedom, if you want that which God intended for you, there's a few ways that it comes. You have to have an internal place in your heart that you say, I want the light, I want the truth, 100% complete truth, nothing less. I want His way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So there's a way. There is truth. And He's 100% truth. There is no shadow of turning in Him. There is no darkness in Him whatsoever. He is the embodiment of light and the reflection of the Godhead in the earth. And as you walk with God, you become a reflection of Him as well. He is everything. So the way, the truth, and the life. And He's a way. There is a way. If you walk with Christ Jesus, there's a way to walk through this life. Don't you want to know what that way is? Wouldn't you rather know what that way is rather than trying to find your own way? Wouldn't you rather know what God's way is? Because His way is peace. His way is life. His burden is not grievous. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You know what? When you give up trying to carry all your other stuff and you put it at His feet, that which He gives you to carry is light. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You know that another version of Scriptures talks about His yoke fits perfectly. You know, and you know, sometimes I don't know if you guys seen this in the Western countries, for those guys that listen, but you see this a lot in Asia and other places when they plow with animals. You know, in the West there's a lot of commercial agriculture, but traditional agriculture exists in a lot of these Asian countries. And when they plow with animals, you'll see they put yoke on these beasts of burden, you know, maybe oxen or whatever it may be. And if a yoke doesn't fit perfectly, if a yoke doesn't fit right, it will chafe, it will cut the skin, it will be uncomfortable for the animal, it will be, every step will be painful. Jesus, the yoke that He puts on us is custom made for the person that you are. That which He puts on you will fit you perfectly. That which He does with you will work with you perfectly. See, God works with you in a custom build for you, for your life, for who you are. You remember the rich young ruler, what Jesus did with him? He said, when the guy came up to him and said, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, okay, well, let's start with the commandments. He said, you know, honor your father and mother, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do this. And the guy was like, all these things I've done since I was a kid. And Jesus had genuine compassion, genuine love for him. He said, okay, if you want to be perfect, go sell everything that you got, give to the poor, and then come follow me. And what does it say? The guy's face, he all of a sudden he went away sad because he had many, many possessions. Now what did God do? What did Jesus do with this guy? This guy had done all these things, but there was still something in him that was keeping him from being what God intended him to be. And here's the thing. If God is a custom builder, and if He does something like that with you, that's what He will dig down to the core of who you are, the core of your desire, the core of what that thing is in you. That may be the very thing that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. And He exposes that. And He exposed that with that rich young ruler. He exposed that. Now, is that a rule for everybody? Has God told everybody, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor and then come follow me? Has He done that to everybody? Did He do that to everyone? No. He did that to some. Didn't do that to others. There were some people that were maintaining certain positions and were supporting Jesus out of their means as He would do the work that He did. There's some women that are counted in scriptures that that's what they were doing. Different people were doing different things. But what did Jesus do with each person? He saw where they were at. And He worked with them where they were. And He cut to the very core of their heart. And those that had a heart and a love for Him, He brought them into the truth. And those that did not, if they had something else that was their idol, because what does it say back in Exodus 20? I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have worship, you shall have no other gods before me. Hold on, let me flip to that really quick. I don't want to paraphrase this one. Exodus chapter 20. Let's see if I can find this one really quickly. Alright, Exodus chapter 20. Alright, Exodus chapter 20 verse 1 says, And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, or otherwise I brought you out of the world. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So that's what Jesus does. See, He exposes what are those other gods that you have before Him. What else is in your life? That is that God that is standing before Him. And you know what? A lot of times those things will be good things. You know, I had a friend of mine who used to tell me the good is the enemy of the best. Found that to be very true. The good is the enemy of the best. A lot of things will be good. But if it keeps you from being what God intended you to be, then there's a problem. Everything needs to be subject to the Lordship of Christ Jesus in your life. Nothing else can stand between you and Him. And whatever that thing is, God will cut to the core of it and show you. And you have to be willing to lay that down in exchange for what He intends for you. And you know what? A lot of people will have all kinds of justifications for you, for why you can't do what God intended you to do. And a lot of people will also try to set you up based on their own experiences or based on their own compromises. Be careful of the man that preaches to you out of his own compromise. Be careful of the man that tries to set you up based on his own limitation. Based on his limitation of how far he's willing to go with God. Oh, there's a lot of them out there, brothers. A lot of them out there, my dear sisters. A lot of people out there running around that have, they preach to you, they speak to you out of their own limitation and out of how far they're willing to go with God. Or they will speak to you out of hypocrisy and give you and instruct you, just like the Pharisees did, of putting all kinds of burdens on you. And they don't live by these things. They just toss them on you. No, God intends that you would be free. But He will have no other God before Him. And He will expose things into the light. So now let's flip back to Mark chapter 4. And verse 22 says, If there be nothing hid, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear. So look, again, this is back in the context of light, because he said, you know, verse 21, and he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set as on a candlestick? Right. So he's talking about light. And the next thing he talks about is that nothing is going to be hid. That won't be manifest. Nothing can be kept secret that's not brought abroad. So basically, there's nothing that is going to be hid that won't be exposed, that won't be revealed. Everything's going to be brought into the light, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, everything is going to be exposed and revealed. That's why the worlders that try so hard to keep everything in the dark and even go to the point of killing other people to hide things, to bring them into secret, in the end, They won't be able to keep even the smallest thing hidden because all of it will be exposed, not just for a short window of time in this life, but for all eternity. Because when, you know, and the thing is too, okay, here. Listen, all right. Right now, your body, your physical being, your who you are while you're here, you are made up of body, soul, spirit. When you're, now no flesh inherits the kingdom of God. So your body, your physical body, will at some point cease to exist. And when your physical body ceases to exist, which is your earth suit, which allows you to exist in this dimension, when you no longer have that physical body working and functioning, that's a physical death. But basically, to be absent from the body for the follower of Christ is to be present with the Lord. So when your physical body stops, your soul and your spirit go on from this life into the next. Now, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So the person that you really are is the person that you are within, not how you look outside. So despite the fact that all these people run around and stretch this and pull that and plastic surgery this and liposuction that and Photoshop this and Lightroom that, after all that's said and done, the person who you really are is the person that is within. And when you die, a physical death in this life, the person that comes out, the person that emerges, is that person that you are within, not the person you are outside. And that person that you are within, also with that is a revelation of everything that you've ever done, ever thought, everything. All of it is brought to the surface. So the real you, if inside you are a monster, well, in all eternity, you'll be a monster. And as ugly and horrendous as that heart has been inside of you, you will be seen for that for all eternity. Nothing will be hidden. The true nature of who you really are will be revealed. If inside you've been redeemed, and God has bought you and paid for you by the blood of Jesus, and you are seeking Him, and you are being renewed inside your spirit, and your spirit is beautiful, it doesn't matter what you look like outside. Inside, the real person that you are is going to be revealed. And when you come into that eternal state, the real person that's within will come forth. And that real person that comes forth will be revealed for all eternity as shining bright like the stars. The righteous will shine bright like the stars. In fact, let me just see this one really quick. Believe, small description about that in Daniel chapter 12. I think I'm... here, let me just show you this one really quick. Daniel chapter 12. And said, verse 9 said, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the times of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. From that time and the... wait. Looking... Oh, wait, sorry. I got too far ahead of myself. Verse 2 of chapter 12 said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There you go. And they that be wise shall shine as bright shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right. So some people will rise, will awake to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So, basically, who you are within is going to be seen and known for all eternity. That person that you are inside is going to come out and be there for all eternity. So knowing that, how now do you live? How now do you walk through this life? Because see, the worlders are dumb. They're very dumb. Because they go down a path thinking that they can live in the darkness, that they can live apart from the light, and you can't. Because the light will expose all things, will reveal all things. All things, every deep, dirty, dark secret is going to be brought out into the light. Every harm that you've done to other people, all that will be exposed. Every crooked deal, every person that's been hurt, every prostitute that's been slept with, every child that's been abused and molested, everything is going to be brought out and known and everlastingly known. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. The only hope that you have is the blood of Jesus. The only hope that you have is to be saved by Jesus Christ. The only hope that you have is to be forgiven of your sins by the Son of the living God that came into this world to die for you, to save you, to set you free. That's all you've got. If you don't have Him, you are eternally screwed. But if you have Him, you have hope. You have salvation. You have redemption. You've been set free. The blood of Jesus sets you free. Because you will be found in Him. You know that when the angel of death went through Egypt, and they looked, and the blood was on the doorpost of everyone that followed the commandment that was given by Moses. When they followed that commandment, the blood of the Lamb was over the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over and let them go. And when it's an analogy, it's a spiritual reality for those of us that the blood of Jesus has been applied to our lives. God will pass over because He will see the blood of Jesus applied to your life. You've received that. You've allowed that to be activated in your life. And what will be seen in eternity is the blood of Jesus upon you, not your sin. Not all the stupidness that you've done. Not all those things. They will see Christ. You'll be hid in Him. All that was there before will have been taken by Christ Jesus onto the cross. And you know what? God has given you power. Power in His Holy Spirit to put to death everything that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. Because at the same time too, as God sets you free, you need to be liberated from these snares, these attacks of the enemy and all that. And God's given you the power in Christ Jesus to do that. You've been given the power in Jesus Christ to eliminate every work of the devil that has come in and around your life, around your family. It can be destroyed and decimated. For this reason, Christ Jesus was manifest, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, to destroy the works of the devil. For this reason He was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. So God is manifest in the earth. The Word of God was manifest in the earth to destroy the works of the devil. The Word that God is giving me right now that is going to you is for one purpose, to destroy the works of the devil in your life and in the lives of those that you love and care about, to destroy the works of the devil in this world. God has given us that ministry. God has given us that right. Do you know that's part of the glory of the saints? Oh, yes. Do you know that's part of the glory of the saints? Psalm 149. Flip with me, if you would. Psalm 149. We'll just jump forward to verse 3. It says, let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto Him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. You know what? You are one of the saints of God. This is your honor. This is your right. But it's, you know what? How this happens? Well, it's right there. It's in the Word. Be joyful. You got to take joy in that which God has given you. Let the praises of God be in your mouth. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. Let His presence be with you. And a two-edged sword in their hand. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6. All this stuff, God is bringing this together for you. Ephesians chapter 6. There's the weapons of your warfare. It's right there. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Double-edged sword laced by His very Spirit in your hand. You need that sword. You need that word. Because what does that word do? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. You know what? Use that word. Speak that word. Just as Daniel spoke that word. Just as Joseph spoke the word. Just as Elijah spoke the word to Ahab. Just as John the Baptist spoke the word to Herod. Just as Jesus spoke the word all over the place. You speak that word. You speak the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You let that be in your hand. You let that be in your heart. You let that flow out of your mouth. You speak the word. You live on the word. You bank on the word. You let your life be in that word. You put your trust in Him. You will never be put to shame. You speak that word is life, that word is truth, and that word shines bright, it exposes, and you know what? You need to do that. Because better somebody experience and be exposed to the light now than to die in darkness and to find out they've been lost in all eternity. You do them a service, even if they don't like you, even if they hate you, even if they despise you, you've done them a service by speaking the word and the truth. Because you've given them a chance to repent. You've given them a chance to reach out. You've given them a chance for something different. And God has worked something in you for a difference in them. So speak that truth. And know that all that is done in the darkness will be brought to light. Nothing is hidden that will not be exposed. This is why too, with all the frustrations that you may have about what goes on in the world, know that God is in control. And know that God settles accounts, but you have a role to play. And your role to play is to let your life be rooted and grounded in Him. Let God allow His Spirit to work in you to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy everything that keeps you from being what God intended you to be, and let Him use you in the earth to destroy the works of the devil in every place that you come across them. That is God's intention for you. And in that intention, you need to live, move, walk. In Him you live and move and have your being. And you need to walk that out. Because this day, God intends, and every day, God intends for you to have the abundant life. Nothing less in Jesus' name. And that is our prayer, our plan, our intention as far as it comes to all of us in God's kingdom. Rise up and be what God intended you to be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. We love you guys so much. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi to us there. You can also reach us. We have a Facebook page. Search for Faith Mix, one word. You'll find us there too. Hey, drop us a mail. Say hi. Keep on keeping on, guys. We love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.